Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mundus.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show. On Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Well, looks like Monday.
Hell no place to go. Hell no place to go. Darling, hell no place to go. Hell no place to go.
Dave Edit apparently has gone to the, if you're old enough to understand this reference, the Johnny Carson summer schedule. He's here for a day or two. He's gone for a day or two. Always nice to see Mark Carmen. How are you?
I'm great, Steve. I actually think Dave is with Northwestern's new point guard, Jordan Lathan. He's trying to get his name down, learning the family, new recruit for Chris Collins.
So he doesn't shoot around necessarily. He just follows him around and asks him to pronounce his name, and then Dave repeats it?
Yep. And I think he does learn.
That's some a pro that he is.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
You can never get started too early.
Also, one of our own, Adam Hogue, doing sports on Channel 9 this morning. If you want to watch that, you'll see the Hoger on TV.
It's a big move by Adam Hogue.
Apparently, they called everybody. Oh, that's not nice. We love Hogue. Why would I say something like that
on
a Monday?
That was a mean thing.
No, it's ridiculous. I'm just being I just woke up.
Adam's cute.
And he's good.
Yeah.
And so is Mark Carmen.
Thanks,
and then
Steve.
The only other note I have in sports is ABC is bringing back the Superstars competition from the 70s.
I used to love that. Remember you watched that?
Yeah, we talked about it like a year ago because it was running in reruns on Classic.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it might be ABC, it might be ESPN, but they're bringing it back.
That's not, remember the American Gladiators?
Yeah. Well,
that's the one
similar
I'm thinking
to
of.
That one.
Yeah. No, this is the Superstars is the
what did they do
network
on it?
TV stars that compete in things like tug of war and swimming.
Oh, it used to be called the Battle of the Network Stars.
That was it.
Yeah.
That was it.
Not Superstars. That's it. And they're bringing that back because everything's retro now. Nobody has any new ideas. As a matter of fact, Gong Show, which came back last Thursday night with Mike Myers as the fake Scottish host.
That was the weirdest thing ever. I watched
five minutes of it.
I was like, what is going on?
They ruined it.
Yeah. The makeup
job. Are you old enough to remember the Gong Show?
I totally remember the Gong Show. Yeah, it was fantastic.
I know you are, Steve. Come on.
The Unknown Comic.
The Unknown Comic, Gene, the Dancing Machine.
Yep.
And here's why Chuck Barris was great. He sucked, he knew it, and he got out of the way.
Yep.
I love Mike Myers, but we don't need Mike Myers doing bad jokes off cue cards, and we don't need three judges who say like one or two cute things and then act like they're annoyed to be there. The judges were thrilled to be there on the old Gong Show.
Oh, completely, yeah.
And they were all lunatics.
They were natural lunatics. They weren't faking it.
Yeah, I mean, if the contestants could have, they would have gonged the judges.
It's almost like the Mike Myers variety show,
which I'm not
a huge fan of.
And it was so
not good.
It's not good. It was edited so weirdly, too.
You know, that's the problem with everything now, with everybody's ADD.
It's choppy.
Clip, 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 clip. You can only focus for 2 seconds, and TV's decided that's the case.
It's annoying.
So I cannot recommend the Gong Show. I do recommend Mark Carmen doing sports, and I'm looking for a full breakdown of Pride Weekend from you.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Get your kicks. Get your kicks.
With the Top 6 at 6. Sponsored by American Weathermakers, the home of the 60-Minute Man.
Well, I'd like to tell you, we don't have any Washington news today, but of course we do. Republican leaders are trying to rally support for the Trump Care Affordable Care Act in time for a vote this week before the congressional recess. And again, thank God the members of Congress are getting a few days off. Just a chance to put up their feet, stretch their legs, really just kick back for a while because the schedule they're on.
Well, it's not like they've had years to come up with a new plan. Oh, wait.
They've had years to come up with a new plan.
They've had years to come up with a new plan.
Yeah. Meanwhile, on the other side of the earth. Meanwhile, on the other side of the earth. Oh, there it is. Rex Tillerson, the Secretary of State. By the way, is there a guy in Trump's cabinet that seems less happy about having the job?
Than Tillerson?
Yeah, you look at him and just goes, man, I have got to get out of here.
You know why? Because he actually disagrees with him.
Yeah, well, he disagrees with him, and also he doesn't have the staff, and he's not hiring the staff, and it's a mess.
And he doesn't need the money.
He's also not doing press conferences or anything like that either. So
if he leaves, he's got money, and he's fine.
And by the way, I'm glad the press conference thing came up. If you were covering the White House right now,
yeah.
Your job would not be to go in at the press conference, ask a gotcha question, and then run back to your editor and go, I got him again. This president and his people have proven they'll give you the gotcha if you want that.
Absolutely.
The idea is the press conferences and the press briefings were set up so that the White House could send out their message of what they're doing and then be questioned on it. In other words, they control it. And by controlling it, man up, stand up at the microphone, face the media on camera, allow the questions to be asked.
And answer the questions.
Yeah, and if the answer is the lawyers are dealing with it because it's an investigation, fine. But go on the record doing it. The audio, listen, we're radio. We love audio.
Yeah.
We need audio. But it's ridiculous just to release audio to the point where CNN has an artist rendering of Sean Spicer in front of the room.
CNN sent the sketch artist in. And did you see the rendering of Sean Spicer? It makes him look like a chiseled, tall man.
Oh, yeah. He should buy that from CNN and frame it.
Well, it's great because then they said, well, it's a ploy by CNN. No, they just wouldn't let the reporter in. So they had to let the sketch artist in.
Yeah, I don't know why it's a ploy.
It's not a ploy. It's not at all. They said, oh, it's a trick. It's a ploy by CNN. It's not. They wouldn't allow the reporter in. They had to allow the sketch artist in like they do in a courtroom.
Yeah.
And that was what the rendering.
I don't understand
released.
The no cameras. If you're going to release the audio, the news is still out there.
It was just specifically CNN and another agency that they wouldn't let in.
But no, there's no cameras. The audio for Thursday, and there was just audio for Thursday and Friday, and the new announcement is video once a week.
It's unbelievable.
Why would you allow video once a week?
That's complete. That's a complete abomination of the First Amendment.
Don't do it then, right? Just don't do it.
Just don't do it if you're not going to do it, which, again, is an abomination of the First Amendment.
It's just, it's ridiculous is what it is. I'll tell you more about Rex Tillerson later. I got a little off track there. President Trump broke the White House tradition of hosting the Ramadan dinner last night. It's important because of the situation we find ourselves in the world, because of an outreach to all peace-loving Muslims, which is 99.9% of the Muslim population. I didn't do the math specifically, but I'm not that far off. All white folks aren't crazy rednecks looking to blow stuff up, and all Muslims aren't crazy Islamic terrorists. So if we can agree on that, maybe we could get somewhere. But the Ramadan dinner was a big deal. He broke it with no real explanation as to why. Meanwhile, in Springfield, all's been fixed and the budget's been signed.
Ha, 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 ha.
Not actually right.
Not so much.
I have a statement that Speaker Madigan made this weekend, not to the media specifically, but kind of a general statement, which I think everybody's going to love. But he has a wish list in exchange for the property tax freeze. And in short, he described the property tax freeze, which has about a 95% approval rate amongst people because who wants to pay more property taxes?
Right.
He described it as a right-wing conspiracy.
Which is insane because nobody wants to pay more property taxes.
A lot of Democrats would like not to pay more property taxes.
I think it's pretty strong of him, too, to offer a wish list now. At this point, we're in day six.
Well, it's sort of like you were talking about before. They haven't had time. You know, they haven't had time. I mean, nobody saw this budget problem coming. How could they be prepared for this?
It's only been almost 3 years without a full state budget.
Next, Jordan Spieth, thought by many, including me, to be in some sort of funk, is back. He won the Travelers Championship in dramatic fashion over the weekend. Now, the dramatic fashion I missed. Did he hole out?
He holed out from the bunker in a sudden death playoff, Steve.
That's a good win.
Pretty incredible over a gentleman by the name of Daniel Berger. They were both 12 under going to the sudden playoff. He had to get up and down to get into the playoff, too, which was incredible. He put about 2 feet from the cup.
By the way, I don't understand Berger. Berger wins a couple of events. He goes into the U.S. Open. I pick him. He misses the cut by 48 shots. And then he goes out and nearly wins this week. Is he trying to hurt me?
He was fired up, man. Daniel Berger was showing the emotion.
But anyway, Spieth won again, and now he's got to be one of your main interests going into the British Open, the Open Championship. And finally, the continuing saga of Tim Tebow, sitting 222, three home runs, leads his team in strikeouts, oldest guy on the team by 6 years. He's been promoted from the rookie league to the Class A St. Lucie affiliate in Florida, St. Lucie affiliate of the New York Mets.
Tim, why did you get promoted? Well, I have no idea. That's basically what he said.
Yeah, don't be hurting on Tim.
That's a little weird.
He's almost as old as you, dude.
That's not nice. But accurate.
It's 627 at Top 6 at 6, brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men. Who wants a desktop indoor weather station? Six caller now at 312-981-7200. American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
I have edema on my thigh, pink stuff in my eye, and I need you now.
Dr. Kevin Most.
I've got a stomach pain that's low, fungus on my toe, and I need you now.
It's sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, making people better by making medicine better.
Central DuPage Hospital. Call Dr. Moose right now.
Good morning, Doctor.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good for a Monday morning.
Did you have a nice weekend?
I did. How couldn't you this weekend?
Now, you say pretty good for a Monday, but I have to say, I'm gonna blow your cover right now. You yeah. like your job. You really like your job. You look forward to coming to work.
I really do, to be honest with you.
So Mondays are never a problem for you?
No, they're not. No, actually, you know, I do. I kind of look forward to it. I enjoy it. I'm very fortunate. I work with a great medical staff that makes my job pretty easy. So hopefully no one above me is listening to this right now.
Yeah, you don't want to let management know.
No, they think I work really hard, but yet I got great docs, so it makes my job much easier.
And then you're talking to me. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
All right. I want to ask you something before we get to the topic chosen for today. Senator Ron Johnson from Wisconsin, who seems to be mostly reasonable, in quotes, this weekend said something which, while it may be true on a business model, to me is the heart and soul of the problem with the healthcare insurance battle. And he equated pre-existing conditions with people that have car accidents. The reason your insurance goes up after a car accident is because there's greater risk to the insurance company and greater cost. So why should people who have pre-existing conditions not pay more? Now, there's more to the story than that, but that is essentially his point. And he says nobody's willing to say it, and he said it. Now, and that was yesterday on Meet the Press. Now, while he's not wrong in a pure numbers business sense, this is the absolute, to me, core of the problem with the insurance business and the healthcare business and the cost and the problems we have. Because if that's the underlying feeling among politicians, why are poor people more entitled to have health care than people who have pre-existing conditions and might die? In other words, the only people who need to make decisions on taking care of sick people ought to be the health care givers, you and the doctors and the hospitals, not people who are looking at a piece of paper and saying, well, this doesn't fit our business.
Well, and you know what? There's a very fine line here, because they're going to say, you know what? It's that person's fault that they have diabetes. They ate too much. They ate inappropriately. That's why they have heart disease. So that side of it, where we make personal choices that affect our health, okay, then put that person in front of a doctor and let them educate them as to what they need to do to get healthy. But people don't choose to get cancer. People don't choose to get high blood pressure.
Well, I make the argument, too. People don't choose to get diabetes either. You know, yeah, you don't sit down and have a weight problem like most of this country and then end up with diabetes either. So why should we be pulling their insurance?
No. And I'll tell you, that part of it, like you said, is pretty scary. You know, the bill is going to say, oh, no, we're not taking out pre-existing conditions. No, it's in there. But it gives every state the flexibility to limit the coverage for people with pre-existing conditions.
Doc, what worries me, and I think a lot of women too, is that the umbrella under which these pre-existing conditions would fall. Many women have fibroid tumors or any the fibroids that, you know, perhaps are on your ovaries. Would they consider that a pre-existing condition just because you are
prone
to
nobody told you to
these
have ovaries.
You know what I mean? I mean, that is what's scary to a lot of people too, is that certain things that you would never in a million years think would be a pre-existing condition could be considered one.
Exactly. How deep is this link? How deep is it going to go as far as what is going to be determined to be a pre-existing condition that the states can say, we will limit our coverage there? And you know what, you guys? We couple that fact with them considering block grants, which is even worse when you look at the two. Right now, the federal government and the state each pay in every time someone, a Medicaid patient, sees a doctor. Under this plan right now, they're going to give, here's Illinois, here is your pile of money. this is how much you spent last year with a little bit of an increase, and now you use that appropriately to treat these patients.
And when it's gone, it's gone.
Exactly. When it's gone, it's gone. It falls all back on the state, and the state is going to say, whoa, we have to cut back on things.
Yep.
And whether it's women with fibroid tumors or it's people with mental health, there is going to be cuts, and that is going to be devastating to us.
And what's the biggest problem? The biggest problem going forward, we're going to live longer. People are living longer, and as people get older, think about the crash we have coming. People are getting older. We have less doctors and less health care at a higher cost than ever. Right. You think that's a problem? And these geniuses are figuring it out? Come on.
Steve, it even gets worse than that. Most hospitals run on a very, very, very thin margin. I mean, a lot of hospitals are at a deficit every year. Most of them are on single-digit margins. So they make a little bit of profit, which they then roll back into the hospital to improve it. With this thing, you are going to see many hospitals close. You have hospitals in the city that take care of a vast majority of their patients are Medicaid, and now they're going to get cuts.
And many
they can't afford it.
And many of the programs too, right, Doc, for mental illness, substance abuse, rehab, and a lot of these veterans programs too.
Absolutely. You know, you're starting to see a lot of the social services, especially in the state of Illinois, with the current state that we're in right now. You're seeing a lot of those people that are doing these great social services for mental illness, for substance abuse, that are getting out of that business. And when some funding does happen to come, if the state gets a budget, I'm sorry, you guys, those individuals have already moved on and have already found other occupations. They're not going to come back and do this.
So, 6:47, on that happy note, please let your senators know, even though I think we know where Durbin and Tammy Duckworth stand, but whether you're listening in Michigan or Iowa or Ohio or Minnesota, I mean, anywhere around the country, let your senators know what you think of this thing being shoved down the Senate's throat this week. And the fact is, you don't have to have a vote by Thursday, so they have a story to tell when they go home. It's not about the politics. It's about the reality. And it's outrageous that that creep Mitch McConnell is pulling another stunt. All right, we've got to come back. Talk about Marian Hossa's situation, because I think people are intrigued about what's happened to him. And playing some of the best hockey of his amazing career, and now he's got to step back for at least a year. Anybody else notice the BET Awards were on 14 channels last night?
Was it good? I didn't get it.
Yeah, but I wasn't invited. I should have been there.
You always get invited to that, don't you?
Usually, yeah. I'm sure it was just, you know, slip of administrative issue or some sort. Dr. Kevin Most rejoins us now. Doc, all right, let's talk about Marian Hossa here. Yep. This caught a lot of people by surprise, including people who are pretty close to the hockey community. And it's not completely rare in hockey, but it's still unusual. What do we know? I know you haven't examined him, but what do we know of what he's dealing with?
Yeah, you know, we talked in the past about contact dermatitis when people get exposed to like poison ivy. So this is somewhat similar to it, we assume. You know, like in hockey, they're going to be very tight about what the medical condition is, so they don't tell you exactly the diagnosis, but you can assume, and especially, like you said, knowing historically that other players have had this. But essentially what it sounds like he has is he has, whether it's an allergy to his equipment or whether it's a skin condition, that when his skin gets broken down because of contact with the equipment, it gets inflammation. And for him, it's gotten to a point where it's either so unbearable from a symptom point of view of itching and breakdown of the skin, or it's because the medication that he's on, which is what they alluded to, get to a point where you have to be careful about the rest of your life. Being on long-term steroids to keep your skin condition under control is not good. End up with cataracts, end up with diabetes, end up with osteoporosis. Bad things happen when you're on some of those medications for a long time.
So the cure is worse than the condition at some level, maybe. But what I've heard, and I think one of a former either Hawk or NHL player discussed this on Channel 9, is that you're taking a shower after a game, and it's like needles coming out of the shower head. And you can't sleep because you're not comfortable in any position. And here you're lucky enough to play this game, in Hossa's case, for 20 years. And again, last year, what, 26 goals or something?
Yeah.
On fire coming out of the gate. It's not like the Hawks don't want him around. And he wants to play more hockey, and he's certainly got more hockey in him. But, you know, all the subjects or all the things you just mentioned have led up to, we've got to figure this out. And he can't play hockey while we're figuring it out.
Yeah, and like you said, you know, not only is a great player, but you've seen in interviews, and you know him. But, I mean, here's a humble guy who really is great for the sport, so doing anything we can to get him back there is great. And you're starting to see more and more sports equipment teams put some protective layer between the equipment and the player. So will that work out for him? You know, you hope it does. But they practice so much and play so much that when that skin breaks down and you have skin and sweat and broken down skin that's been irritated and now exposed to the dye in the uniforms or chemicals that are on the equipment, and that skin's just going to get inflamed. It's kind of surprising that more people don't get it, and I'm sure that there's a lot of hockey players that do get it, even young kids. But keeping it under control is the big thing.
What about regular people? Do you see this in the regular population where people are, I don't know how to put this, I guess, allergic to their clothes?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Especially now you're starting to see it more because we're getting more high-tech clothes. We're getting clothes that have SPF in them. We're getting clothes, sports clothes, that have antifungal medication embedded in them. You're seeing more and more clothes with dyes. You're seeing more chemically produced clothes instead of natural cottons. So absolutely, clothing is definitely one. But we get exposed to it all the time. Something as simple as the little sheets that you put in the dryer to make your clothes smell better and you know, softener. Very irritating to the skin in some people. So we always, that's one of the first questions we ask when someone comes in, they got a rash all over. It says, have you changed your detergent or have you changed your softener? Because it's a very common one.
I'm told that the extreme treatment for this, steroids you mentioned, and maybe steroids are the underlying ingredient for this, but it's not dissimilar to chemotherapy in its worst cases. And that kind of hardcore treatment, as you said, over the long term is actually dangerous. So if you get to that point, and by the way, we're not talking about Jose, we're talking about the big picture. Yep. What do you do medically?
Well, it's
or does it get better if you're no longer doing the thing? I mean, you got to wear clothes.
Correct. If you stay away from whatever the irritant is, it's going to get better. But like you said, you know, we're talking about all of these new drugs where we're trying to convince the body how to fight an infection or how to fight an irritation. And now we have drugs that we're saying we want to turn that off. We want to turn that suppression off. So it is interesting, and it does get to the point of, you know, the old saying, well, doc, it hurts when I do this. Well, then don't do that. So it's going to be wear some different clothing. Don't get in that situation where you have sweating, irritation to the skin, and direct contact with any chemicals or dyes.
Doc, do you hear oftentimes with an allergy, especially with young kids, people say, well, they'll outgrow it. Is that possible, or is that just a wives' tale?
No, you know, you will, quote unquote, outgrow some allergies. Some kids actually can outgrow asthma, but we have to realize that asthma is due to inflammation, and as their airway gets better, and if we can decrease the inflammation, that they may get over their asthma. Some childhood asthma moves on. But some of the other things, you know, like you say, well, I'll tell you one in females, it's really common. Girls will buy cheap jewelry, and it has nickel in it. Mm-hmm. And nickel is a huge irritant to the skin. They're not going to outgrow that, but they're going to start buying better jewelry that's not going to have nickel. So some of it you will, quote unquote, outgrow, but for the vast majority, it's going to be to avoid it versus try to outgrow it.
And over the past couple of months with my many medical friends that I've come in contact with, I got in a conversation with one about doctors developing an allergy to latex late in their career. I mean, after 20 years, suddenly there's a latex allergy. How does the body not know that earlier?
Yeah, that was really interesting. As a matter of fact, we had a great general surgeon here by the name of Rich Jorgensen, who now is the coroner for DuPage County and has done great work with opioid use abuse here in DuPage County. But he was a phenomenal surgeon that developed an allergy to latex. He couldn't wear gloves in the operating room and had to retire from that. Fortunately, he's been able to put his career to something very powerful in DuPage County with opioids. But here he is, a love of the game for the surgeon, and being told you can never do surgery again. There's so much latex in the surgical area. Now, if a patient comes in and they're latex allergy, we have all the equipment to take care of them. But on a day-to-day basis, it's impossible for a surgeon to practice.
Well, let you go, but you mentioned opioids. That's the other thing in the Senate healthcare bill that is not completely clear at this point, how big an impact there would be on opiate programs around the country, and whether or not that's going to be enough to kill the bill, or whether these senators are doing enough to to take that into consideration, because you've said it here many times, opioid addiction in this country is rampant, and we ignore this. We're asking for a world of hurt like we don't even know at this point.
Yeah, people don't realize and understand how big this issue is, and it used to be just, oh, these are heroin users in the cities, and I'm sorry, it's not. These are 15-year-old, 20-year-old, 60-year-olds in the suburbs of DuPage County and Barrington and wherever.
These are people you know. These are your neighbors. Yeah. These are people you work with. This is every, these are people you know.
Yep. We've got to get our arms around this.
Dr. Kevin Moe, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, making people better by making medicine better. Thank you, sir.
You got it. We'll talk to you soon.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
Otto Warmbier has just passed away. He spent a year and a half in North Korea. A lot of bad things happened. But at least we got him home to be with his parents.
And we deepen our administration's determination to prevent such tragedies from befalling innocent people in the future.
It goes beyond any kind of understanding of law and order, of humanity, of responsibility towards any human being.
It's a brutal regime, and we'll be able to handle it.
Michael Auslin is at Michael, A-U-S-L-I-N, about to be a member of the highly esteemed. Well, let's have you make the announcement, Michael. Michael, what's your new gig?
Hey, good morning, Steve. It's the Hoover Institution at Stanford University, which is a think tank that is part of Stanford.
Makes you probably too smart for this show, but I hope you'll continue to take our calls.
I think I'm lowering the IQ by joining there, but I appreciate it.
Well, congratulations. We'll split this up here, but before we take the traffic break, let's do the basics. As of today, the Otto Warmbier family, aside from the obvious incredible pain they're dealing with in moving forward, can expect what from our government or theirs?
Well, from the North Koreans, nothing, obviously. And I think probably tragically from our government, really, really nothing. I mean, we have no diplomatic relations with North Korea. There's nothing that we can do that will make the North Koreans either admit what they did or give any type of I mean, there's no recompense you can give for murdering their child. But there's really nothing. I think we're at a point where we really should be questioning whether any Americans ever should be traveling to North Korea.
Right.
And I think the answer is no, I've never gone. You know, I go to South Korea regularly, and I would never set foot in North Korea. I have colleagues who do go. They will go on official sponsored missions, but I think it's too risky. I mean, you're not dealing with a regime that I think it's a regime that's completely savvy and logical in its own way, but it does not obviously respect international law. You have no protection. So I think we're at the point where we need to tell Americans, first of all, don't go. And if you go, unfortunately, you really are on your own. There's no reason a college student from the United States needs to go to North Korea.
Right. And I think it goes to summer travel for your kids who think they know everything at 20 or 21 or 22, who haven't done their homework as to how bad this is and don't know what they're getting into. All of that, I think, is really crucial.
Yeah, that's right. Look, this was a lark. Otto with his group was actually, I believe it was in China. They were doing other travel, and they decided to go to North Korea over New Year's. You can make a lot of jokes about all of that, but obviously that's not appropriate here. This is a ridiculous tragedy that should never have happened. Honestly, I hear about this a lot. I have, you know, some young people I work with who say, well, I'm thinking of going to North Korea. And I just look at them and say, why? You know, what do you think you're going to get out of it? First of all, you will only see what that regime wants you to see. You will be monitored and followed. And obviously in that youthful moment of exuberance, when you do something that you don't think twice of, such as, wow, I'd love to have this, you know, propaganda poster and take home with me. We don't understand the nature of this regime. We just, you know, Americans cannot contemplate the depth of depravity of this regime. It's simply not in our experience. And so something that we think is completely innocuous, in this case, wound up, a young man lost his life for it.
Yeah, and I don't want to take this down a different road here conversationally, but for all the meanness of the Internet, and for every comment I've seen, including those that happened in real time back when Otto Warmbier did this, he's a 21-year-old kid at the time who did a dumb thing. a dumb thing that in no civilized society would ever rise to. He will now die in prison. So let's just take that part of the conversation off the table. And if you live in that world where you think Otto Warmbier, as a college professor out of Delaware who was fired this weekend, said, got exactly what he deserved, I don't understand how you think. I don't understand the meanness in your heart. And I just pray that nothing that bad ever happens to you or somebody you love.
So. Oh, I hadn't heard that. And it is horrible. But again, I think what that reflects is precisely the degree of comfort and safety that we have in this country, where, you know, if you want to, you can make a statement like that, because you literally can't contemplate being
right.
put into a gulag and beat into a coma. You know, the fact that the Obama administration wasn't able to get him back is just indicative of the fact that, you know, we have no leverage whatsoever with the North Koreans. Now, I don't know how hard they tried. And I think the only reason the Trump people got him back, and they did send their highest level diplomats, and these were people who had worked in the Obama administration too, so we're not talking completely sets of officials, completely different sets of officials trying to do this. But the only reason I think they got him back is the North Koreans knew this kid was about to die, unfortunately, that Otto was about to die, and that's the only reason they gave him back. So, you know, you are on your own. If you think that you're going to be able to have a lark and somehow then the American Marines, the U.S. Marines are going to come in and save you, you better think twice. But as you pointed out, Steve, anyone with the callousness to say he got what he deserved, no one deserves that.
Do you think, Michael, we'll see U.S. retribution for this by the Trump administration? And do you think this is any sort of leverage to try to come to some sort of an agreement, if you even can, with this dictator?
Well, on the agreement side, I don't think so. And as for the retribution, there's very little we can do. You know, this goes to the much larger question about North Korea. And this week, by the way, on Thursday, the South Korean president, the new president, just elected because the old one was kicked out of office, is going to be in Washington, D.C., meeting President Trump. Look, we're going on a quarter century, 25 years of a failed North Korea policy on the part of Democratic and Republican administrations alike. We are at a point where there is not only no good answer, no good solution to North Korea. We've tried just about everything we can try, short of war, of course, which none of us want. But the real question that no one wants to ask is, North Korea is getting perilously close to an intercontinental ballistic missile that can have a nuclear weapon on top of it. Every single analyst that looks at this, both inside and outside government, is telling us that. So whether it's this year or next year, it's going to happen. The United States homeland will now be at risk from this regime, which any North Korean expert you talk to is convinced that they would use this weapon in the end days, right, when they figured out that they were going to lose a war or that they were going to collapse or whatever's going to happen. They're going to use this weapon. I think we're at a crossroads now. No one wants to ask the question about the continued commitment of the United States to South Korea, which puts us in the bullseye of a North Korean nuclear weapon simply because we're promising to defend North Korea.
Well, and I think that's
about to change.
I think that's the great question, right? Is the North Korean regime in and around Kim Jong-un so polluted between the ears that they believe, as other terrorists around the world believe, they will die for their cause and they're ready to do that? Or are they enjoying their lives at the top of that very broken totem pole over there so much that it's all talk and it's all about respect and it's all about their twisted view of the world, but they don't want to push it to the nth degree? And we don't know the answer to that, right?
Yeah, well, I think it's the second part until things break down. So, Steve, I think it's from everything we know about this regime.
So it's Hitler in the bunker. It's
exactly right. That's it. That's the analogy. Look, they have spectacularly successful at surviving. If you go in a time machine back 25 years and you say to most American specialists, do you think North Korea, the Kim regime, will be around in 25 years? They'd say, heck no. You know, that thing, it's going to collapse. You know, something will happen, right? Well, they're here, and in fact, the economy is actually getting better in North Korea. This young, crazy kid we love to make fun of because he's meeting Dennis Rodman, he's actually actually a very successful leader at this point in North Korea's history. So they don't want to push it to the end, but you pinned it exactly. It's Hitler in the bunker. It's if things go bad. It's if they, for whatever reason, they do start to topple. It's if they stumble into a war with South Korea, and of course we come in to protect South Korea, that's when they're going to use this thing against, and as many of them as they have. There's no one I know who has looked at North Korea, because, you know, it's a jobs program for Americans. You can do it your entire career. There's no one I know who's dealt with North Korea for decades who doesn't think that they'll use these things. So we're about to hit a different area, right? When we made this promise back in the 1950s after the Korean War, we said, we'll defend you. But, you know, the only American interests at risk at that point were the American military, the service members who would be caught in combat, right? It was far over there. We could make a commitment. That's why we have a military. You know, we may disagree whether or not to use it, but that's the only thing that was at risk. We're about to get to the point where Los Angeles is at risk,
right,
or maybe Denver or beyond that.
And by the way, for everybody that goes, well, don't we have somebody on the inside, or isn't there somebody who realizes he's got to go, can get him from the inside? Well, the question is, who's next? Because the hierarchy of power there, we don't know if there's somebody even worse in the pipeline, if that's even imaginable. Best of luck at the Hoover Institute. We will be bothering you there, and we always appreciate your time.
Anytime, Steve.
Thank you, Michael Osland. And let's do traffic, and then we'll come back. And then could you tell us a little bit about Pride Weekend?
You bet, absolutely.
And thanks
for
the beads.
Yeah, a little bracelet.
I got beads, I got bracelets.
Yeah.
I could open up my own website. A couple of people to catch up with from their weekends. We'll get to Carmen before the hour is up, but what about Pride?
Pride was wonderful. Pride was great. We had our float with the WGN-TV float. We had a bunch of people out there. Mary was there, Ryan Burrow, Tom Skilling, of course, Dean Richards, all of our friends, Steve Bertrand. We had a wonderful float, wonderful turnout. They had more than 1 million people, and knock on wood, no major issues going on. The only thing that they had was there was a group of Black Lives Matter protesters near Belmont, which is kind of toward the end of the parade route. Starts at Montrose, goes all the way south down Halsted to Diversey, splits off at Broadway. And there was early on a group of protesters blocking the route. They wanted their Black Lives Matter group to be heard, recognized. I think
were they in a
designated
area or not?
Yeah, and then the police kind of walked them off and said, you know, you need that. We have a parade permit, obviously, or the city does. So there's just
areas that the police need to have you near or in so they can control the crowds.
It was lively. It was colorful. Mayor Emanuel.
What about the protests amongst the gay community? Was that all under control?
No. Everything was great. No incidents. Yeah. And they had They had a woman named Leah DiLaria from Orange is the New Black who was there as well.
Was she the Grand Marshal?
She was the Grand Marshal. Mayor Emanuel, Eddie Johnson. And you had your J.B. Pritzker, your Chris Kennedy there as well.
Yeah,
so it was
very
busy.
It was my first time, Andrea. And mm-hmm. it was really an experience. I was so shocked. The parade people, the parade marshals, they were like every 100 feet, weren't they, pretty much?
And you mean the marshals as in the people keeping the crowd?
Yeah, and well, the police were just phenomenal. They were everywhere, and it was great, and they just got rid of those protesters in no time. It was like, goodbye.
We didn't even actually know there was a protest until afterwards.
Didn't.
Ryan Burrow was there, too, and he was getting some information from the end of the parade route. And honestly, it was about a 15-20 minute delay
well, the parade
of stopped, the start.
Yeah. So it stopped, so we had to sit there and wait, yeah. But yeah, it was only 10-15 minutes. But But they were great. The parade marshals and everybody, and it was a very well-behaved group, and I was very surprised that I enjoyed it so much, actually.
Well, it's inspiring.
We had a great band on
the
float.
I think it's inspiring.
And they had us, you know, shaking drums and playing drums and all kinds of fun things, so it was great.
The TV float, did Skilling get out of hand, Andrea?
No, Skilling was great. Where was
Skilling? No, you can tell me.
No, he was great.
This is just us. No one's
Bozo,
listening
however.
Right now.
He was great. Jeff Carlin, Rose producer, was there. Anna DeVlantis was there as well. Jeff Carlin said, try and get the trifecta photograph. I said, what's that? He said, the photo with Bozo, Dean Richards, and Tom Skilling. And we took a picture of the three of them, and Dean said, oh, Andrea, come in the picture. So that was kind of cute.
Right, so you were like the one amongst the
Stooges. Yeah, right.
The quadfecta.
Yeah, the quadfecta. but yeah, they were great. Sean Lewis was there. Micah Mater, Lourdes said to say hi to you. Well, she didn't, but if I told her that you said hi, she'd say hi back to you.
No, we're fighting now.
Why?
Lourdes and I?
You are not.
No, because she's big time in us. She went to the 4 o'clock show. We don't hear from her
She
anymore.
Is big time.
Yeah, we don't hear from her now. She's on at 4 o'clock. She apparently gets up at noon, sobers up till 2, and then goes into work.
She talks to us.
But she doesn't talk to the show anymore.
You're fake fighting.
Yeah, we're fake fighting.
We'll have her back on. It was a wonderful celebration, though. And again, a million people, no major incidents at all.
City does it right.
City sure does.
So good for them. It's not an easy thing for the police to handle either.
And there's your beads and your bracelets.
Yeah, I just put one of the bracelets on. Thank you for that. Ryan Nobles will join us coming up. We'll get to the big story next on 720 WGN. And Ryan Nobles from CNN. He'll explain everything coming up on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
It's also unprecedented for a former president to come out the way President Obama has. He came out on Facebook recently. You may have seen it. He said, your bill, Mr. President, not a health care bill. It's a massive transfer of wealth. It's going to harm Americans. It's mean. What do you say to the former president?
Well, he actually used my term, mean. That was my term, because I want to see, and I speak from the heart. That's what I want to see. I want to see a bill with heart. Healthcare is a very complicated subject from the standpoint that you move it this way and this group doesn't like it. You move it a little bit over here. You have a very narrow path.
I have words. I have the best words.
It's the weirdest dude. Obama used my word. Mean. I called it. Ryan Nobles standing by from CNN, who is, of course, doing it. Really, I mean, it's time for Wolf to go. Ryan's the guy.
Oh, no.
I don't know about that. Ryan. I don't know about that.
No, we love Wolf. Wolf's a great guy. Ryan Nobles joins us now. All right, so obviously healthcare is a big topic, but before we get to that, I have no idea why this wasn't a bigger story over the weekend, and I know you referenced it, but the president admitted through a tweet that Russia hacked the election. Isn't that the first time he's actually done it?
It's the first time that he's done it as emphatically as he has. And, you know, I said this over the weekend on CNN a number of times, that it appears when he's able to use President Obama as a scapegoat, then he has no problem saying that Russia was involved in the election. So, yeah, I mean, it was the most direct and biggest connection that he's ever made between Russia and the election. But he's using it, obviously, as a way to shield any potential involvement that he has. And, you know, lay the blame on President Obama because of this Washington Post report where, you know, there's an administration official who described how the administration reacted as sort of choking. But, yeah, I mean, I think that is pretty big news that he is admitting that Russia played a role.
Now, of course, today we'll be able to ask him about it in the briefing. Oh, no, wait, probably not. He hasn't had a press conference.
We'll be off camera again today, in case you're wondering. We'll be off camera again today.
And he hasn't had a press conference since that spectacle back in February, where he went on for an hour and a half, and apparently his staff said never, ever, 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 ever again, even though he's been telling people he's going to do a press conference any minute now. So we don't know how to address this. And on top of that, there is a meeting coming up at the Economic Summit where he and Putin will be face-to-face. I can't think of another time, maybe never in history, where Americans should be collectively nervous about their president talking to a foreign leader, because we don't know if their president, President Donald Trump, will make it worse.
And we also don't know, Steve, if they're even going to meet. You know, the White House has been very quiet as to exactly what the president's agenda will be when he goes to the G20 summit. The Kremlin is not saying whether or not there will be a face-to-face meeting between Putin and the president. And you're right. I mean, you know, Barack Obama met with Putin in September, right before the election, at this same summit. And, you know, the Washington Post report details that he specifically confronted Putin about this situation. But, you know, we don't have enough understanding as to exactly how Donald Trump feels about Vladimir Putin in this situation. So he is blaming Russia now for the hack, but he's never made it seem as though it was that big of a deal, because he doesn't want to give the impression that he did win the election fair and square. So even if he gets the opportunity to get in front of Vladimir Putin, what is he going to say? What is their interaction going to be about? Is he going to, you know, give the same level of concern that Obama did regarding how they're involving themselves in elections, not just in the United States, but all around the world? Or is it just going to be a friendly get to know you and what are you going to talk about? These are questions we just don't have answers to. And here we are about 2 weeks before this potentially huge meeting could take place.
Maybe there'll be recordings.
Yeah, they can tweet them out.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, Ryan, what are your thoughts on North Korea, as far as, I think we have an idea of how Trump feels about Kim Jong-un, maybe not. Do you think, will we see any retribution for the Otto Warmbier death?
Well, he's going to meet with the leader of South Korea here in the next week or so. And, you know, they continue to try and put the pressure on China to do something as it relates to North Korea. But as we've talked about before, I mean, North Korea is such a dicey proposition because you just don't know what Kim Jong-un is capable of. And even a minor provocation or response to warm beer could end up being turning into a literally a world war. So I think the president is hoping that China can continue to put pressure on them. And he kind of talks out of both sides of his mouth when it comes to this, because he doesn't want to attack President Xi, who he has got a good relationship with, but he does like to attack China kind of in totality. And I don't know what role the South Koreans can play in all of this, but it continues to be, you know, it's such a dicey proposition. It was the biggest concern that President Obama had when he left office. He warned President Trump that this was going to be his biggest foreign policy challenge, and the situation there doesn't seem to be getting any better.
The president gets too much credit when things go well and too much blame when things go wrong. That's always the case. However, President Obama and his team deserve a lot of criticism for what happened, even though it's Monday morning quarterbacking, for not being more firm in handling this Russia thing at the time and choosing politics over policy. For those of you not catching up to the argument yet, because you have lives and are busy, the situation is that when Obama and company, including all the intelligence agencies, knew this, he had, as you might remember, a press conference or a press briefing where he said, well, I talked to Vladimir Putin, I told him, knock it off. And we mocked it on the show at that point because knock it off doesn't seem quite strong enough. And maybe the language was different. But there was a decision made prior to that by the president, admitted to by his staff on and off the record, that if the president had weighed in more heavily at that point, then he would have looked like he was giving some sort of backup to Trump's argument that the election was rigged. Mm-hmm. And he, like most people, thought Hillary was going to win. So it may be Monday morning quarterbacking, but I don't disagree that President Obama blew it back then.
Yeah, and I think that even Democrats are saying that, Steve. Adam Schiff was on our Sunday morning program, State of the Union. He's the ranking member on the Intelligence Committee, who's been really critical of Donald Trump's connections to Russia. But he was critical of President Obama on Sunday morning, and he said at the time that when he received these briefings and he was given an understanding of exactly what Russia was up to, that he pleaded with the White House to do more. But to your point, that President Obama just felt so concerned about giving the impression that he was tipping the scales in favor of Hillary Clinton that he just decided not to go too far. Now, they did do a few things, you know, minor sanctions here and there, but they didn't take advantage of all the potential options they had on the table. The other argument the Obama administration makes is that he found out too late in the game, that it wasn't until the end of August where he had concrete evidence.
Yeah, it's not too late.
That implicated Russia. But, you know, I think the broader point here is that, you know, this doesn't take away, you know, this is the exact same thing that Donald Trump is talking about. In fact, he tweeted about it this morning, that everybody at that time thought that Hillary Clinton was going to win. And Trump tweeted that this morning. The reason Obama didn't do anything was because he thought that Hillary was going to win. Everybody thought that Hillary Clinton was going to win. So nobody thought that whatever Russia was doing was really having that dramatic of an impact. And I think now, you know, as you say, Monday morning quarterback, when we see that Donald Trump is in the White House, I think that's when the alarm bells are really starting to go around. You know, did what Russia do actually impact this election? And that's why I think you see serious Republicans like Richard Burr of North Carolina and Conaway, who's taken over the Russian investigation on the Intelligence Committee on the House side, you know, legitimately asking questions about this. Because regardless of whether or not you're a Republican or a Democrat, you know, Vladimir Putin's goal is just to mess with the United States. And that's why they need to get to the bottom of this and draw some sort of conclusion and take steps in the future to make sure it doesn't happen again.
Yeah, and not just act like, well, we blew that one. Let's get them next time. It's ongoing.
Yeah.
It hasn't stopped.
Yeah.
It's ongoing. And in my opinion, not yours, not putting words in anybody else's mouth, this is the same mistake that the Obama people made in 2012 when they chose politics over policy with Benghazi. I'm not saying Hillary Clinton watched people be murdered. I'm not saying President Obama looked the other way. I'm saying they chose re-election over a hardcore response to an ambassador being killed. So you would have hoped they would have learned a lesson. Yes, they were victims of circumstance to some extent, but you're the president of the United States. You got to step up, and yes, they blew it. Last question, Andre.
All right, Ryan, these press briefings, I just don't understand how this is allowed. The picking and choosing of, well, today CNN can go in, tomorrow you can't. The LA Times, you can come in today. How is this allowed, and do you see this continuing? Is there any sort of, I know there's no precedent for this, but any sort of rules that are already on the books for not letting the press in?
You know, I was at the White House over the weekend, and I was talking to a few of my journalist colleagues about this. And we were talking about what potential recourse we have as a collective press corps to prevent the White House from kind of, you know, manipulating the way that they get information out. And at the end of the day, we really don't have any. You know, they're in charge of that building. You know, when I come to the White House, I have to show my driver's license and I have to be cleared in by Secret Service. And the only reason that I'm allowed to do that is because someone in the White House press office has decided that I'm worthy of entrance into that building. And at any time, they can just decide that I'm not anymore. Now, there's a consequence to that, right? We can yell and scream about it, and like people have been doing, and, you know, we, as a news organization, kind of trolled the White House last week by bringing in a sketch artist to draw pictures of the press briefing. But that's our only recourse. You know, we've got to win this battle, so to speak, which is an awful way to describe this.
No, that's true.
In the court of public opinion. But we've got to make people understand, the average everyday human being in the United States has to understand how important it is for us to be in there and asking these tough questions. And, you know, the president and the White House should understand that as well. And but at the end of the day, they're the ones that won the election. They're the ones that are in charge of that building. They can decide where we sit and where we're allowed to go and who we're allowed to talk to. They have complete control over that. And, you know, we just got to keep reminding the American people about how difficult it's been to get access to this White House. And, you know, frankly, how difficult it was to get access to the Obama White House in certain respects.
Sure.
The access is getting more difficult, not easier. And that is a problem for all Americans, regardless of your opinion of the media right now.
Well, and I can tell you, I'll let you go on this, but there's a real world example of it right here in Illinois. We have no access to Mike Madigan, the Speaker of the House, the last state house politician to control a state and choke a state. And you can see what's happened to Illinois on a national level. So when you have no media access to power brokers at the highest level, this is what you get. You don't want it in Illinois. We're paying the price for it now. You certainly don't want it in the White House. And, you know, that's why I hope that some people are screaming, well, don't cover it. You can't do that. You have to cover the fact that you're not allowed to cover it. That's the story.
Some people suggesting go in anyway. And what will they do? Will they arrest you?
Yeah.
You can't. You're covered by the First Amendment.
You could be trespassing. No, you could be trespassing.
That's ridiculous.
You can't get that far to the White House. But let me make this broader point, Steve. And I'm not saying that I'm like some sort of, you know, long-term journalist. I mean, I've been covering politics in some capacity for roughly 20 years at every level, right? So I started in Utica, New York, covering the mayor of Utica, New York. And I can tell you from my experience, the politicians that, you know, understand the value of the press and they interact with the media on a professional level always end up better in the long run.
No question.
It is better for you and your institution if you find a way to be forthcoming and transparent. The more you try and hide behind, you know, iron doors, and you try and only talk through press release and are not honest with what you're dealing with, it just makes it more difficult for you in the long run. And that is the same for the city councilman as it is all the way up to the White House. And, you know, I think that politicians need to understand that the more open you are, that's better for you, too. Do it in a self-serving way. It's better for the country. It's better for us as citizens, but it's also better for the politician. I firmly believe that.
I totally agree. Ryan Noble, CNN. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should. Yeah,
all right, it's 8:13. I understand, Dean. And by the way, happy Monday. How are you?
Happy Monday. Happy Monday. Happy Monday.
I understand that Bozo had a little too much in the juice box area, and you had to drive him home?
I did not. Bozo was full capacity, full facilities.
Mm-hmm. Tell it to TMZ.
He had two. I personally witnessed him drinking two bottles of water.
He did.
Because you do not want a dehydrated clown.
Mm-hmm.
He was fully hydrated.
I heard he went home in two different shoes. Both giant, but two completely different shoes.
The most photographed people at the Pride Parade, Bozo, Tom Skilling, and Dean Richards.
The last part of that, not true.
That is true.
Dean was photographed in
only
a mugshot.
Because I took so many selfies of myself to drown my
depression. Those all count. Yeah, yeah. I mean, they all count towards the final number. Who else is on the Channel 9 float?
We had a good crew. We had Lourdes Duarte.
Blew off the show completely the minute she got the 4 o'clock
news. She did that. She is a wonderful girl.
Well, so you say.
Love her.
How would I know if she hasn't called?
We had Dina Bear was on the...
Dina Bear. We like Dina, sure.
Love the Dina Bear. We had...
Of course, she's on criticizing everyone's health at the parade. Oh, look at that one.
No. Sean Lewis was there.
Sean Lewis.
Good guy.
Tom Skilling.
Never heard of him.
Mike Lowe was there. Mm-hmm. Who else was
there? Mike do some hard-hitting news from the thing. Mike seems like, I don't know Mike, but Mike seems like the kind of guy you couldn't invite to a party because he'd be looking for trouble.
Oh,
show up
looks
like
party.
The investigative reporter right. All the time.
So great.
Show
Muriel
up at
Claire
the house with
too.
The that blue fluorescent light.
Right, the Dave Savini light, as we call it.
To show you where your germs are.
Yeah,
Muriel Claire was there.
She's so sweet.
It was fun. We had a blast. Everybody, a lot of people asking about you, Steve. Mm-hmm. I told them you had a family commitment.
Right.
But
funerals will do that to you.
A lot of people saying how much they enjoy our little segment here today.
And, yeah, that's very nice.
I have to text you this picture. Somebody was holding up a sign. I was pathetically begging for people to hold up signs that said, I love Dean, Bozo sucks. And people had much better taste by not putting that up. But one very nice person held up a sign that said, "Who wore it best?" And it was a picture of your head, my head, and Paul Conrad's head.
Really?
What's the common thing between all of us?
Swarthy good looks.
That's right.
Yes.
So we did have sort of a.
Well, that's fun. And there are some really, really, really funny people.
Wait, but
and I mean legitimately funny people at Pride who have some great signs, and they are hysterical. About three of them you could actually put on TV or say on the radio, but they are funny.
I thought it was a little more, much less outlandish.
Well, it's because I wasn't there.
This year.
Well, yeah.
I wasn't there to lead the debauchery.
Can we ask who wore what best?
Our heads, our bald heads.
Oh, I get it. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I was confused.
And by the way, we don't know what the vote tally is. Finally, we're waiting, but the Russians have meddled with the total. Well, it was a good day for it, and glad it was good. You know what we haven't done yet? We haven't said goodbye to Jackie Paulus. Jackie Paulus, who has been our some made-up position she had here for years, director of marketing / vice president of this and that. Couldn't be a nicer person and couldn't have taken the heat here more. I mean, she worked with DeCastro, who's nuts.
She also worked with the previous regime.
Who actually were nuts. They weren't the fun nuts.
Right.
But we love Jackie. We wish her nothing but the best. Yep. And she's going back to work with Jimmy DeCastro.
She's the one that got WGN Radio into the Pride Parade.
Exactly.
After
right.
a million years we should have been.
Well, she did a bunch of great initiatives that she deserves credit for. But we don't want to go too deep on this. You know, I mean, obviously there's more things that Dean and I need to talk to about relating directly to us. But we love Jackie. We wish her nothing but the best.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So. Steve, you want a little entertainment breaking news that just came over?
Just happened?
As we speak.
What happened?
John Records Landecker has been voted into the National Radio Hall of Fame his first appearance on the ballot.
Love him.
Couldn't be more deserving. I saw that in the Robert Feeder post.
Great. That's right.
Yeah, Robert
That's
Feeder.
Where I steal all my
information.
Yeah. Sean Hannity, not familiar with him. Robin Quivers, Barnard.
Tom Bernard.
Okay.
Yeah, big deal in Minneapolis.
Bobby Bones, Bill Handel, Joseph Field, and Bob Sievers.
Are you sure that's all the names? There's no one else in there?
Those are the ones. There's not another single name that you could possibly squeeze in there.
Shake the list. See if anything else falls out.
Nope, that's it. I did.
It's odd. No plaque. No that.
Nothing.
Thought I was having a good year. It's congratulations to Landecker. I think we can agree. The greatest disc jockey ever. Ever. Ever.
Well, Dean, too, because Dean started out as a DJ.
No, Dean would tell you this, and me either.
Okay.
I got to tell you something. And as a black entertainer, I'm proud of this, but I've got pretty good timing. I can still hit a post. You should ride in my car. And so can Dean.
Do you do that in your car, too?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's the most meaningless skill ever.
That's such a dorky DJ thing.
It's totally ridiculous. But then I just go through all the call letters I've appeared under in the last 30 years. And, you know, it takes up a lot of time on a road trip.
That takes your time up.
But Landecker absolutely the best. Nobody close.
If for he's done many things in his career. If for nothing more than the boogie check.
Oh, yeah, boogie check.
Ooh-ah, boogie check. That's a reason to be on the National Radio Hall.
Couldn't be a nicer guy, and yet nothing made me happier than telling John Landecker, at my advanced age, I used to listen to him when I was doing my homework in high school.
Me too. I did a term paper on him in college. Seriously.
How about that?
I'm sure he wouldn't want to hear that. That's like when somebody comes up to us and says, oh, my grandmother loves you.
Yeah, exactly.
But I
seriously, go. You got a picture?
I was so fascinated by John Records Landecker, I actually wrote a term paper on him and his style and, you know, my brilliant analysis. I'm sure it was stupid. The whole thing was ridiculous.
Well, listened to him through, I mean, you lived here. I listened to him through the static in upstate New York where I grew up.
Yep.
Is that good? Boogie, I couldn't wait for Boogie Check.
Boogie Check.
Yeah, it was tremendous. Boogie ooh, Check, ah, Boogie Check, ooh, ooh, ah. It's the last time WLS was any good. It's 8:19, still to come, Johnny Depp, Wonder Woman, Tupac, Chance the Rapper, the Star Plaza, all on the hit list.
You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor, Channel 9720.
Back to Dean at Channel 9. Are you a coffee drinker?
I am.
I'm not, and whenever I have to order coffee for any family member or anybody else, I always get nervous. Because there's a whole separate language, obviously.
Very true.
I think there should be a Rosetta Stone for Starbucks. You know, a tape series where I could learn how to order coffee, too.
Right. It's tricky.
There's two pumps. There's grandes, and there's half
macchiatos,
whips and loaf whips and zippity-zaps. And
yep.
I mean, I feel like it's like trying to remember Violetta Podramedic's name. It's impossible.
I just get the regular drip coffee. So
that's the first time you ever said her name right, by the way. Did you realize that?
Did I say it right?
Yeah. By accident.
Oh.
Try it again.
Well, it was a slip.
Try it again.
Zippity-doo-dah, Carfanugan.
There we go.
But anyway, we just sent Mark Carmen to Starbucks, and I got nervous just giving him money out of my wallet as opposed to when people just take it. So, all right, back to the topics at hand, and Johnny Depp is first on the list. What happened?
He apologized for his comments that he made about President Trump. Last week, he was at the Glastonbury Film Festival. He was doing a Q&A with the audience. Somebody asked him about President Trump, and he, among his other comments, said, when was the last time that an actor assassinated a president? Something that I think we all agree is about one of the stupidest things that somebody could possibly say. Over the weekend, he said, I apologize for the bad joke I attempted in poor taste about President Trump. It did not come out as intended, although I don't know how that sentence can be construed.
You really can't say
way.
That's out of context, can you?
No, it is what it is. He said he intended no malice. He was only trying to amuse, not to harm anyone. So he's apologized. And the White House issued a statement condemning the joke and calling on others in Hollywood to speak out, which virtually everybody has. Pretty much everyone has agreed it was a pretty stupid thing for him to say.
His administration's been a big enough joke. We don't need more jokes on top of it. Wonder Woman making more money than ever?
It did make it made 25.2 over the weekend.
Have you seen it a second time?
Which is nice.
$100?
I haven't, but I'm going to.
Really?
I loved it. Yeah, Wonder Woman, yeah.
Can't think of it. Do you go see movies a second time?
No. I rarely do, but I want to take my goddaughter to see it. I saw it with a friend of mine, and I really liked it, and I think it's just such a girl power movie.
I was going to take Abigail because I believe in toddler empowerment.
Yeah, I love when people bring their toddlers to the movies, by the way.
Yeah.
By the way, you know what Abigail's favorite new word is?
Grandpa?
No.
No.
No. No.
Baldy?
Baldy?
Baldy.
Yeah, whenever I ask her to do something this weekend, when I spent a good portion of time with her, she says, no, Baldy. Am I offended by that?
Heck no.
Oh, she's too
cute. A Cochran.
All right, so congratulations to Wonder Woman.
Took in 25.2 mil this weekend, but now has become the biggest grossing film of all time that has been directed by a woman.
Yes.
Director Patty Jenkins.
And she'll get a bunch more chances now.
Also, the star of the movie, Gal Gadot, has been drafted by the Harlem Globetrotters. They do this, you know, sort of fake draft every year, and they picked Gal Gadot to be on their team, along with Tim Tebow and the Yankees' Aaron Judge.
No other name on that list? Nothing to shake the list.
Shook the list.
On that list.
Nothing. Shook the list. Nothing within an inch of its life.
By the way, Gal Gadot. That's the pronunciation.
That's the way I heard her say it.
Okay, because we keep saying Gal Gadot.
Gal Gadot. Dean, I saw Linda Carter with a tweet. I think it was Friday or Saturday, saying that they have asked her to make a cameo in the Wonder Woman sequel.
In the sequel. Good.
Yes.
Well, good.
She should have been in the first one.
Yeah. She should sell the rope.
The lasso.
Yeah, Gal has to go in and get a new lasso of truth.
Lasso of truth.
Yeah.
Love that lasso. Truth.
The Tupac movie is getting sued. And by the way, I'm saying Tupac, so I sound more like a white guy.
Actually, I got an email from somebody saying thank you for pronouncing it
Tupac.
Tupac Shakur.
Yeah, that's what it is.
And not the way most white announcers pronounce
it. I'm trying to relate to white people. Tupac.
I appreciate you relating to the audience. There's a writer whose name, interestingly enough, is Kevin Powell, not the same one that used to produce your show.
Might be. You don't know.
Now apparently goes on, spends all of his time going on dates with people, if you listen to the commercial. There's a copyright infringement lawsuit that's been filed.
He's also a sports analyst.
I haven't heard that part. I've only heard the commercials where he's always constantly on dates with them.
Endlessly entertaining.
Strange women. Kevin's a nice guy. I don't know how he can't meet somebody.
Yeah, and stick in a relationship. Women all over Chicago go, he doesn't call. I don't know. He's on another date with someone else.
He's on a new date with somebody else. And it's never an expensive one. I always hear him say, yeah, we just went out for a drink.
Yeah, exactly.
And by the way, maybe if you bought the woman dinner, you wouldn't have to go on so many dates.
Right. Last more than one, you cheapskate.
Anywho, there's a writer whose name is Kevin Powell also, who wrote some articles back in the 90s about Tupac and Vibe magazine. And this writer now has filed a copyright infringement lawsuit saying that this new movie, All Eyes on Me, much of it is based on the articles that he wrote.
About Tupac?
About Tupac.
Star Plaza, they're tearing it down or not tearing it down?
They first said, about a year ago, they said they were going to tear it down. Then, a couple of months after that, huge public outcry. They said they changed their mind. They're not going to tear it down. Now they've announced it's gone again. At the end of this year, the final show there will be the Oak Ridge Boys, who are the only artists who have appeared at the Star Plaza, formerly Holiday Star Theater, every year since it's been open in 1979. They'll do their annual holiday show there, and then that's going to be it for the theater. Wrecking Ball comes in. There are a few shows, including our friend Dennis DeYoung, who's scheduled in 2018. They're going to try to reschedule some of those shows before the demolition, because it would be embarrassing for Dennis to show up.
And it's just a parking lot?
Just an empty parking lot. Would not be good.
He's too big for that.
Yeah.
But the Oak Ridge Boys will be there. Will they do the Christmas classic, Elvira?
They will, with the sleigh bells.
Yeah, where we all sit around the tree and we all sing, bump, 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 Elvira.
Ching, ching, ching.
Well, that's too bad, and that's another thing. I played every comedy club in Chicago, and there's only the great Zanies folks and a couple others are left. So basically, all the theaters I've played, I've reached an age of 56 where the theaters I've played are being torn to the ground.
Hmm.
Unbelievable.
Interesting effect.
Yeah. Did I mention there should be a Rosetta Stone for Starbucks?
Did you get your drinks yet?
No, my gosh.
It's taken so long.
First world problems.
It's ridiculous.
Not like there's ever a line at that Starbucks across the street.
And if you missed Dean's top story, Bozo made bail. So
Bozo is fine. I'm sure he's got both feet up and relaxing today.
Well, he should. After
Bozo
that.
Puts a lot of effort in. He's not like the rest of us mopes just standing there and waving.
Right.
He's dancing. He's jumping off the float,
well,
taking pictures with people, shaking hands.
He's
like a politician. He could run for governor. He could run for governor in this state.
And then when you go, these bozos in Springfield, would be actually true.
An accurate statement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, thanks.
All right,
8:32, big story next, 720 WGN. You recognize this?
Blue Oyster Cult, right?
And you know why we're playing Blue Oyster Cult?
Cowbell.
Not because we need more cowbell. No, that's different. We're playing Blue Oyster Cult because we couldn't come up with a better song for this. It's probably a one-time segment. Is Mark Carman in a cult or not?
I like this song. It's a good segment.
All right, so Mark Carman, look, there's only two choices here.
Yeah.
Mark Carman is either doing everything he can to better himself as a human being and try to become more whole as a human, or he's joined a cult. So let's examine the evidence.
Was this topic approved by upper management here? What's going on?
Yeah, me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So where did you spend a weekend?
I was up in beautiful Elkhorn, Wisconsin, Steve, on the Wright Graduate University campus, learning and growing and transforming and experiencing. It was a great
Wright,
week.
As in W-R-I-G-H-T?
W-R-I-G-H-T, that is correct.
And the name of this organization is?
That's the name of the organization. The Wright Foundation for Human Potential, Steve.
The Wright Foundation for Human Potential.
Yes, so we've had Bob and Judith in studio with Andrea. We had a great time talking with
Bob
them.
Bob and Judith, when Mark and I filled in, I think, for you one day.
Yeah,
Bob
and by the way, I don't want They're anybody great. To get the wrong idea. I'm not accusing them.
Yeah. Oh, no, they're great.
I'm saying, did Mark think he was joining
them? Oh, I see. Yeah. I see.
Yeah, they're great.
That's a good clarification.
All right,
there.
So what's the goal of this group and what your piece of it is?
Yeah, well, it's just, you know, you're trying to be on your edge, Steve. How can you be better? How can you advance mm-hmm. your career? How can you be in touch better with your loved ones? Whatever you want to do.
You could take those kind of classes?
Well, it's more of, there's this thing out there. They're called feelings and sort of attaching to them and what they how they stop you, how they perhaps get in your way. There's that's a very basic
so
way
is
of putting
group therapy a part of this?
I wouldn't call it therapy.
Oh yeah, well, what you're describing is therapy.
Well, group discussions.
It's more coaching, Steve. More, you know, there's a more, it's
well, give me one thing you learned this weekend. And at any point were you in the woods of Wisconsin beating on your naked chest with other grown men?
We do there's a bunch of various locations within the campus that you could be staying at, Steve. I was fortunate enough to be in the Elves Way, which
I'm sorry, the what?
I had Elves Way. It was a musty
Elves Way.
Elves. Yes,
like the name of the area.
Yeah, it was a
beautiful, I don't know what an Elves Way is.
Well, it was a beautiful, and you're not supposed to. It was a beautiful cabin that didn't necessarily have running water, but there were.
Were there elves in the cabin?
No, but you could definitely smell other animals around the cabin.
Okay.
It wasn't the Hilton. I'll tell you that.
I'm sorry, did you say no running water?
That's correct. In this particular step, like say, you know, this was for boys and girls. The women were perhaps given a better accommodation than some of the men.
Are you allowed to have your cell phone during this?
Absolutely. I could have called you, Steve. I didn't.
So you can call or text. Wouldn't that be part of the thing that's holding you back? Wouldn't you want to have no phones as part of the policy?
No. I think it's more noticing, like, perhaps when you want to go to your phone to get away from the particular content that's going on, that perhaps you're having some...
You're blocking.
Yes.
Mark emailed
perhaps.
Me, I'll say.
I did.
He emailed you.
He emailed me saying when the next seminar is, in case I wanted to go.
Well, okay. Andrea's expressed interest every now and then, and they were so...
Bettering yourself.
I'd like all of you to become better-rounded people.
So you're texting, but you couldn't take a shower.
No email.
I showered, Mary, every morning, bright and early. I was getting after it.
In a different cabin.
Outdoors, too. It was outstanding.
The Santa's cabin.
Oh, it's
the
outdoor, like, mass shower where you go and you pull on a chain?
Well, see, no, as we get back to the Elves Way, Steve, there is no, as we said, running water in the actual Elves Way. But outside, there was a shower set up for you.
Where's your toilet?
There's many toilets throughout the campus and
public the porta potties.
No, we're not. This is you're going a little too like 19.
It's a legitimate question.
Too Camp Minnehaha.
Lots of nice. There's great toilets up there with
public.
Public, private, yes, a regular, normal toilet.
See, there's incentive to go. There's great toilets up there.
There's find one before I get there.
There's computers. There's musical equipment.
Okay, I don't understand. You're trying to better yourself. You're trying to break yourself down to talk about your emotions at the highest level, yet you have all the distractions of life. Other than the fact that you have no water,
well,
I don't get the point of this.
I think we're there's lots of water. We're just you're focusing on just the one Elves Way situation.
So you're in the Amish cabin, no water,
right,
no power.
Right, right.
All right,
it's
but there was access to water and power.
Tons of water, tons of power.
Well, give me one thing you learned this weekend, because I want you to feel better about you.
How deep would you like me to go here?
Just something that would relate to the audience in the next 45 seconds.
Okay, well, thank you. I would say, just on a very basic level, how I have allowed fear at times in my life to stop me from moving forward, and how really fear is a great something to orient towards. If you're scared of something, Steve, that's probably right where you should be going.
Yeah, how's dive that? In. Yeah. Fear is a motivator.
Right.
It can shut you down, but it's a motivator. So what are you afraid of?
I'm afraid of you, Steve. I'd like to...
Well, I mean, that's obvious, but what are you really afraid of?
Oh...
Failure?
You afraid of success?
I think I'm afraid, Steve, of like disapproval. Like I think sometimes
you're
I don't,
a pleaser.
Right.
Yeah, you know what? You should go.
I know. That's why he was emailing me. That's why I'll say no and I'll go, but Steve, there's I said
things
no.
There's things in Andrea's life I could tell you about that she'd break onto a cold sweat in the next 30 seconds.
I said no to something last week and Mary Sandberg texted me and said, don't you feel good that you said no? And I said, no, I felt guilty. I thought about it all
perfect
day.
Candidate, right?
Sure, we all are. Everybody. I wouldn't want to throw Andrea in the
so is this an ongoing process? I mean, do you keep going back or what?
I mean, I think you should all we should all look at like,
that's not what I'm asking about. Is this an ongoing process for you?
It's
will
called
you keep it, going
it's
back?
Called learning and growing, and for me, yes, I it's an ongoing process until I hit where I think I enjoy it. I enjoy connecting with myself, connecting
great.
With others.
Well, I always enjoyed therapy when
He's
I was going
bettering
back.
Himself
Lord
too.
Knows I had to go back.
Yeah. Mary just ran in here and looks very distressed.
Now, you've been a friend of mine for 10 years. I don't notice anything different about you. What should I be noticing?
You really don't notice anything different? That
no.
hurts. Okay, well.
Well, I don't know. That's not meant to hurt.
I'm
just saying I thought you were pretty well together in the past.
Don't you think,
Steve.
Mark, you've always been a happy person, but Mark.
No.
He's very positive.
No.
I think you're.
No.
Well,
no.
Dare him to do something because he.
Dare him to do something.
Yeah, he's supposed to not be afraid anymore.
Run out in traffic. You
think
what?
Carmen is a positive person overall.
Yeah, you're wrong.
And I. Sorry, MC.
So you feel like this is a growth thing that's happening, you should continue.
I feel that
Listen, I endorse it completely. I don't think you're in a cult.
I think I'm holding a little bit of a higher higher vision of where I can go than what I did historically. I'll say that.
Okay. Sandberg, your thoughts?
I would say embrace the word no. See? Just like your granddaughter.
Oh, well, there is that.
Let Abigail lead the way.
There is an assignment out there, by the way, for saying no. No.
Saying no. That's the people's biggest problem. He doesn't need to go on a 7-day retreat to learn that. I can tell him. Because I tell Andrea.
She does.
Say no and don't feel bad about it.
She said no and she literally texted me and said, don't you feel good that you said no?
And she said no. I felt guilty all day.
It was I like, did. But you were good, though. You said no. That's the first step.
Mm-hmm. We're going to work on guilt later.
But here's the thing. We're all wrapped up in our own ego. And we think we're doing something magnificent for other people. You're not. I've told my kids about this their entire lives. You're not on anybody's agenda except for that period of time where they're asking for something that they want or need from you. And that's not a selfish thing. That's just the human interaction. Once you say no, even if they're upset about the no, unless there's somebody that's in your life all the time, they're not going to spend the rest of the day thinking about you. They're moving on.
That's true.
So if no is the right answer for you, say no.
No doubt.
No.
More often than not, no is the right
Boy,
answer.
Boy, the both of you need to get to Wisconsin immediately.
Abigail knows. Abigail, she's a pretty happy little kid. Every picture I see, she's smiling.
Wow, yeah, no.
And she's saying no.
No, no. No, the answer's no. Pops.
But he
no
also
pops.
Asked her if she wanted $1 million, and she said no.
Yeah, well, she doesn't know the value of money at this
She's
point.
She's not materialistic.
Reconnecting to the 2-year-old that says no is important for all of us.
I think the 18-month-old. I think you need to reconnect to the 18-month-old
She's
idiot,
advanced.
Except for the diaper part.
She's advanced.
I mean, Abigail's on a whole other growth path.
Yes, exactly. She's very advanced. All right, Mark Carmen is not in a cult. That's our summation. Congratulations. Not in a cult. Well, there are many in Wisconsin you could join. The Wright Foundation for Happier People. Is that what it's called?
No, but you're around it, Steve.
Well, you got a website you want to plug for him?
Sure. Go to WrightLiving.com.
Wright, W-R-I-G-H-T, living.com. Here's Mary.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Back live on 720 WGN and on Seal TV. Couple of texters. From the 847, tattoo a blue screen on the bald spot on Steve's head. What did the blue screen do?
Well, if you use it like
we can put anything on
a
there,
weather
right?
graphic.
Yeah, that's it.
Put a map or something.
Blue screen,
on there.
Green screen. Yeah.
You could put the whole world on there. I'm kidding.
847 texter says, if you sell advertising on Steve's head, that would literally be the money shot spot. Shot in spot.
I guess.
Yeah. Sounds aggressive.
Yeah. Pete McMurray's live in studio. Pete filled in for me last week because he does many, many times. Do you have a regular job yet?
Not yet.
I think we need to start talking about your future.
Yes.
Right now?
And you're a very talented young man.
Okay.
Well, you're not that young. You're a very talented guy. But I feel like you should have had a job by now. So what's holding you back? I mean, other than the fact that I'm still alive.
I'm being
What's
very
holding
selective.
You back?
Very selective. How are you feeling, by the way? You should take tomorrow off. You look a little tired.
No, I feel good. I am tired, but I've been tired since 1983. So tell me, where are we in the job search? Let's name names. Who have you spoken to?
We are waiting.
I see.
Let's just say we're waiting.
Why can't the Mix hire you? What are they doing over there?
Oh, come on.
Oh, Eric and Pete. It's Eric Ann now.
Kathy's still not there?
Is Kathy here? I don't know.
Let's bring her out right now.
No, not here.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So not the Mix.
Not the Mix.
So you don't want to be a disc jockey?
No.
Okay, so a talk show. Now, talk show is going to limit you.
Right.
Have you talked to WLS?
No.
But you're open to it?
Not right now. No.
Because you prefer to work here.
Right. Okay. I'm a very loyal person.
Okay, let's go through the shows here.
Okay.
I'm uncomfortable, just for the record.
I think it's fun.
This is normal.
Yeah, let's do it.
I mean, we might as well do it on the air. We do it off the air.
I'm not going anywhere.
Okay.
And we're doing it on CLTV, too.
Right. Yeah.
So, as much as you're hoping. And by the way, Pete and I are good friends. But as much as you're hoping for my untimely demise, I'm not going anywhere.
By the way, we are good friends, but it takes you so long to text back. I mean, I'll send you a text, and then 90 minutes later, I get a response. Does he do that with you?
You understand I have a life. I have other things going on. I'm not waiting for your text to come in.
90 minutes?
Yeah.
Sometimes it's 12 hours.
Man. I don't think that's true.
Six.
Yeah. Well, okay. If your text was more urgent, I'd probably get back to you. But it's my favorite color's blue. What's yours?
Hey, buddy, what are you doing? Are you golfing right now? Question mark.
He does send some great pictures, though. Like the picture of himself at the dentist's office.
I got to talk to you about your definition of great.
All right.
So Bill and Wendy aren't going anywhere.
No.
They're doing great.
By the way, I'm filling in for Bill and Wendy on Friday, Monday, and Tuesday.
Nice job on promoting yourself.
Thank you.
John Williams isn't going anywhere. He just got
back. Love John. Best hair on the air staff.
That includes me. I can guarantee you that.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Ro Khan's not going anywhere.
No. Ro's not going anywhere.
And Justin Coffin's not going anywhere.
Mm-mm.
Patty's not going anywhere.
No. Patty's doing a great job.
And Nick's been here 75 years.
Right.
He's not going anywhere.
I saw Nick last week. It was good to see him.
So where are you going to work?
I don't know. I'm just going to hang out and wait. We'll see.
Oh, no. If we shortened every shift by an hour, well, then we'd need 6 hours. If we shortened every shift by 30 minutes, we could create a show for you. But I don't know. Maybe we could argue for that.
Well, then John would only be on for an hour then.
No, but every show by 30. So six shows, 30 minutes. That's 3 hours. And I don't know when we'd put you on. But the radio's better when you're on it. And I mean that.
Well, thank you.
But there's just nothing here for you.
I understand.
So we got to figure out something else for
you. Just see how
it plays
out.
Have you driven the prize van like to events and stuff?
Do we have one?
We do.
Is that the van downstairs?
Yeah.
I thought that
What if we were to do that?
The prize van.
Yeah, like you were the Uber for the prize van.
Sure.
I think you get like $50 every time you do that.
Nice. I like that.
That works.
It's good.
Texter already chiming in. 630. Pete needs to be on WGN. I miss him.
Well, that's nice.
Which one of your 12 sibs sent that?
It's probably my sister, Di, in Palatine. Thank you, Di.
Sister.
So here's my concern. Your lovely wife works very hard.
She does. Yeah.
I have a feeling you're driving her crazy because you've been home for how long now?
A while.
When were you fired from the drive?
October.
No, he was fired until he left.
Yeah, well, no, that's what you should do.
Yeah, I was fired and then I left.
And then he left.
Then
right.
I left.
Yeah.
Okay, so he left in October. So
right.
we're coming up on 8, 9, 10 months?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. October, November, December, July, almost 10 months.
Right. You've been there, right?
Yeah, a lot. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Sure.
Of course I have.
You just have to wait.
Well,
you
but
can't
it's not
anything.
Like it, but here's my concern for you. This is the greatest radio station in the country.
I understand that.
It's not
That's
like...
That's why I'm not doing anything.
It's
You keep saying it's the greatest radio station. Why don't you go get a job somewhere else? So I wait.
Right.
That's
right,
why.
Right. Well, you can wait to win the lottery, too.
Right.
But my concern is, how are things at home? Because if I were married to you, I'd want you the hell out of the house.
Things are good. Things are fine.
You
why
sure?
do you think he's over here talking
right.
to us?
Right.
No,
swinging
you know what?
By.
He's mm-hmm. selective. Like you
Thank
said
you.
Early on, he's selective.
What if we got
Very
you
selective.
Like a regular job with one of our clients in the short term?
David Hochberg, Townstone, or Pearl Mortgage?
No, nice job on that, by
yeah,
the way.
Thank you. Sorry,
good,
David.
Good boot.
You're right.
I think more along the lines of Apt. You're a physically fit guy. We could have you moving boxes, loading trucks.
Me and Shapiro side by side.
Yeah.
Or maybe MyPillow. He could just, you know,
oh,
sleep all day.
Oh, love the MyPillow. I have one.
No, but that's not sure. getting him out of the house.
Yeah, well,
right.
why
he's
not?
Sleep, it's just be sleep testing.
He go to the mattress place.
I
know.
All
you know, you're stepping,
any mattress
on, stepping place. On some endorsements, though, that others might have.
Oh,
we've got to get you a job with a client that really you couldn't hurt.
What does that mean?
Well, look what you just said. Like all the Chevy dealers are friends of mine. Maybe I can get you a job as a lot kid, you know, that moves the cars around. Like, hey, Pete, bring the Tahoe up.
You know what? He could be the test driver. You know how they go with you now on the test drives?
No. Oh, but he could be the
entertainment. That's always uncomfortable,
by the way. Yeah, it'll be the entertainment. Like, I'm taking the car for a test drive.
Yeah, because it's awkward because you got a salesman in the car.
Put me in the back seat.
So you're in the back seat. You're doing a show.
Right.
You're in the back seat of any Chevy that's being sold. It's a free show for anybody buying a car.
I love it.
It's live entertainment.
Get Mike on the horn.
Live entertainment.
Yeah. Now, you won't have anybody to talk to. That's a concern. I mean, you have other people. So
two people in the front
seat. It's more of a monologue.
I like it.
I've always been a proponent of the sidewalk show. I've been saying it numerous times.
Like a sidewalk sale?
Yeah. You just hang out on the corner, and you're selling yourself an entertainment, and you...
Like the Bucket Kids.
Like
he used to play the Buckets. The Bucket Kids. Pete's outside doing a show like the Bucket Kids.
The street performer.
There's a guy...
though, they arrest the street performer sometimes.
There's a guy on the corner of Western and Clybourne that has a sign, and all he does is dance. He dances in and out of traffic and carries a cup.
Well, I hope people pay him.
Oh my God, I've seen that guy.
That's all he does. Yeah. Flips a sign around.
Well, do you have any skills other than talking? Because I don't.
You're funny.
I am.
I think you're funny.
Yeah, no, you're funny. Yeah.
Okay.
You're funny.
You stand look up. There you go.
Pretty good basketball player. Bulls need help.
But you got a bad knee.
Not at your age.
Okay.
Well, you could play in the 3-on-3 league, the big three. It opened up this weekend. There's 15,000 people in.
Well, let's go backwards.
Yeah.
Prior to your, where was your first radio job in Chicago?
WCKG.
Okay. Station's now dead, of course. I worked there for a day myself.
Did you?
Yeah, one day. Literally one day. If you, prior to that, where were you?
I was in Rockford.
Prior to that, where were you?
In Peoria.
What was your first job, period, like when you were a kid? Not radio, just job.
I worked at RJ Distributorship. I was moving cases of beer.
Right back to F. Moving to Toad.
Was this Goodfellas? You were the young... never mind.
I was in high school. They lived right down the street.
Yeah.
Did you have another job, real job, before you got into radio?
I worked at a dry cleaner's through college.
Well,
dry
cleaners?
That's why I noticed people's clothes. I noticed the length of your clothes.
We have three dry cleaners in my family.
Sure.
So if you need a job...
Right.
Love why it. Not that?
I'll hook you up.
Why not start? Why not franchise? Pete's Dry Cleaners.
You can either talk to my cousin Mike, my cousin Pete, or my Uncle Denny.
Pete's Dry Cleaners and Box Moving.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was that all of your civilian jobs? Non-show business jobs?
I think so. Let me think. Dry Cleaners, RJ Distributorship. I worked at Dixon's Fish Market in Peoria over Christmas.
Hmm. Sold fish.
Fish.
Mm-hmm. Again, you were back to the physical labor.
My grandfather owned a Red Fox store, if you remember Red Fox.
Selling only Red Fox comedy albums?
Remember the Red Fox? It's like IGA.
No.
Oh, no, IGA? The grocery store?
Yeah, the grocery store.
Huh.
You guys don't remember IGA?
I remember IGA,
sure.
Okay, IGA's still around. Yeah. Same thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we get you a job at Jewel, maybe.
Yeah, I could do that.
I worked at Jewel.
Sure.
I can get a
You know
job.
People at Jewel?
I do. I know a lot of people at Jewel.
You got people?
All right, so then we have options for you. The options are we find a job with a client, we find a job with a grocery store, a dry cleaner, or a box mover.
Got it.
So you have skills.
I like it.
I mean, frankly, all the times I've been fired, I never had those kind of options. I really did have to wait. But I'm concerned. Listen, you're the go-to guy.
Right.
You're the sixth guy. Give me,
yes.
Carm, give me the greatest sixth guy in NBA history.
Kevin McHale.
Kevin McHale's up there, sure. Maybe a Bobby Jones with the Sixers. I'd put him in the
Bobby
mix.
Bobby Jones.
It's a good one, right?
Robert Horry could hit it from anywhere.
Ben Gordon was the NBA's rookie of the year as a sixth man for the Bulls.
All right, so Kevin McHale. Okay. You are the Kevin McHale of 720 WGN.
He's in the Hall
You're
of Fame.
You're the go-to guy.
I'll take that.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
All right, good. I'm just concerned it's not getting you out of the house enough. Because if this leads to divorce, then you got to decide who gets the TV.
No.
Yeah, that's trouble.
No, they went divorce. His wife has the full-time job.
Yeah, but she still has to
you
see
can't
him.
Leave her. Oh, well.
Are you running errands nonstop now?
I do everything.
Yeah.
Because... Even when I was working, I do everything.
Oh,
so laundry, cooking dinner.
Yeah, I was going to say, you cook?
I do.
Oh, see, this is good.
Yeah,
not
you
a very
realize
good
how
cook.
Negative that sounded.
Well, I mean,
even
she
when
is
I was
busy.
Working, I did everything.
I have flexible hours.
How
I
long have you been married?
It'll be 16 years in August.
Well, that's a good run.
Right.
You know. And honestly, she deserves a second choice.
She always said you're a great first husband.
All right. Well, listen, we're pulling for you. The audience is pulling for you.
Well, thank you.
815, love Pete McMurray. He really needs a regular home on WGN. Yes, but where? Where? All of those keep coming in. Those type of themes.
Nice.
So
nice.
You know, but again, unless there's an outbreak of an incurable disease here, I don't know where you're going to work, man.
I'm just filling in, man. I'm happy with that.
I get you a weekend show.
Oh, there
easy.
You go.
You have any marketable skills for the weekend?
Sure.
What do you something mean? We could use and promote?
Yeah.
Why don't you do a show centered around cults? Oh, no, that was last hour.
You know, you're good at sports, too. You do the football picks?
No, no. Have you seen that show? No, it's a disaster.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's 922. All right. So if any of you, it's a mini text question. If any of you have a job offer for Pete in any field, 312-981-7200. That's the text question. Any field at all, would you hire Pete? 312-981-7200. And, you know, if you have a question for Pete, I'm sure you can answer it as well. At 922 back after this on 720 WGN. I was taking job offers for Pete.
This is nice.
Pete McMurray's here. And how was your weekend, Pete?
I was in Peoria over the weekend. WGN crystal clear in Peoria.
Okay, well, that's good to hear. You could also hear us on a little something called the internet and various other places.
Well, I was in my car driving around. It was nice.
Let's see. 312. Hey, you could have your job, Steve. Well, he'd like that. And that would be a great alternative if I wasn't here, but I'm here.
You are here.
Yeah. Let's see. 309. I need someone to cover cattle chores over the weekend while I'm at a wedding. 300 head of cow north of Peoria.
I could do that.
It's your neighborhood.
I used to be a cowboy.
That's a great gig. You show up there, you do nothing, you say you did something.
708, pest control. You have any experience in pest control? These are people offering
Pete
jobs.
I've killed some bugs. I have some ant spray in my garage.
815, Pete, Saturday afternoons, 773. High five to Pete. Have I mentioned how much I dislike our text program?
No.
High five to Pete from a former Christmas time shrimp cooker at Dixon's.
Hey, all right.
Oh,
is that where you worked?
Well, they hire people around Christmas time because it's a fish market and people come in and get fish and shrimp. Yeah.
For Christmas, yeah.
Boy, did I smell leaving that place.
630, wow. We need a person to work the Redbox machines in the south suburbs. Pete would love it in free movies.
Do they still have those?
Redbox?
Sure.
Yeah, yeah, I think so, yeah.
Because with the internet now and on demand and Netflix.
I know.
Yeah, but Redbox is an easy, you know, stop and drop.
They have them at Walgreens, Jewel.
Jewel.
Yeah.
What would Pete do with the Redbox, though?
He'd load and unload the
machines.
Oh, all right. Yeah.
Steal
good
some
job,
movies
Pete.
For you guys.
That's a good one for you.
Yeah, a vending machine.
I like that, Mayor.
A vending machine jockey.
Okay.
You're the guy that goes in, you fill the candy machines, you fill the Redbox, you fill them all.
I can do it.
You know, you'd be good for the stuffed animal crane guy thing. You know, the crane that gets a little stuffed
animal? Yeah, because you never get an animal out of it.
Yes.
Yeah, that'd be good for you. Let's see. I need my lawn mowed.
I love doing lawn work. I'm not going to lie. I love it. I grew up doing lawn work.
630, does Pete do bathrooms? Mine's pretty nasty.
I do.
How about a handyman?
Sure.
Because I got a bunch of stuff.
I can't
repaint.
Fix anything.
I got a bunch of stuff going on.
Makes me nervous to change a light bulb. I feel like it's going to explode in my face.
All right. I don't want him as my handyman.
Yeah, you don't want that.
Did you read this one? What about escort service?
Yeah,
you're very personable.
I'll sell my body.
Yeah.
That could be, again, a little
that's
illegal.
Big money.
Bachelor parties? Working bachelor parties?
Oh, I can put together great bachelor parties.
You don't think, now, honestly, you're a good-looking dude and you stay in shape, but honestly, aren't you at an age where, you know, let's say you got a 25 to 30-year-old girl and her friends, and they're all in that same age range, and Pete pops out of a cake, aren't they a little disappointed?
I thought you wanted me to
Who
organize.
Who ordered Grandpa?
It's like the Danny DeVito
Wait a second.
Stripper
I didn't
friend.
Realize.
Wait a minute.
I can organize the parties.
There's a lot. Bachelor party planner.
Wait, yeah.
You could be an event planner.
I could. I know a lot of people.
Yeah. And you can't fix anything.
I have connections in Vegas, too. Yeah. With large groups.
There you go. He could put together bachelor parties.
So you have a lot of options.
Right.
The whole point of this, Pete, is to try to expose to you, you have a lot of options. It's not just staying in the lobby here waiting for me to keel.
By the way, when you take a random day off,
yeah,
where's Steve? Is he okay?
Yeah.
He's okay. He just took a day off.
I love how people think there's some plot going on where I'm keeping an illness secret. No,
right.
I'm fine.
Everything's good.
I'm fine.
Maybe he's golfing. Yeah.
Right.
I'm fine. Ask the people at Walgreens. I'm fine.
I feel much better. Thank you.
You feel better?
A little bit.
Oh, because I've given you all these options.
Right.
I just want you to know that you're loved. That's all.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, that's it. Some breaking news, Andrea. The Supreme Court is going to cover the Trump travel ban.
That's our big story at 9:30.
Coming up next on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
9:41, last week when that horrific, it was 2 weeks ago now, when that horrific London apartment fire happened, there was a baby that was tossed out of a window that was caught. And its life was saved. I don't want people to miss this story as well. From New York, Matthew Howard Sr. just leaving an amusement park, and he looks up and sees a girl dangling about 25 feet off the ground from a slow-moving gondola ride, which had tipped sideways, and she had essentially fell out, and her little brother was crying, trying to hold on to her. Howard is 47. His 21-year-old daughter, Leanne, studying to be a nurse, ran over and positioned themselves under the ride and told the girl, it's okay, you could let go. She eventually slipped and fell. They took the brunt of her fall, caught her, fell to the ground. He hurt his back, but she's going to be fine.
How about that? Like more than 25, she could have died. 25 feet.
25 feet on the concrete.
Unbelievable. Mm-hmm.
She could have died.
Yep. It's unbelievable. Those gondolas, those are those little pods, you know, that go over on the cables over the amusement park. Those always scared me.
Yeah, and it's apparently it's spun in some way where the girl sort of fell out.
Did you see the video?
She kind of fell under under the bar. Look at that.
She looked like she was trapped by the bar, and then she got loose, and then she thought about it for a second, and there was no way other than just, I got to let go.
Right, right. And they actually couldn't convince her to let go. She eventually slipped. But if not for that guy stopping, because the authorities weren't there to save her yet, I mean, who knows what bad things could happen.
He was a big guy. He could have caught her.
So, yeah, but then spike her afterwards. That's nothing but trouble. So... now, helping people in a different way, though I'm sure Bill Geiger could catch people falling out of a ride as well.
Absolutely.
Bill Geiger from Geiger Wealth Management. How are you, sir?
Doing well. How about yourself?
Doing fine. Nice to see you again. I've asked Pete and Mark Carmen to contribute. Andre is not old enough to understand this stuff.
Oh, thank you.
But to jump in here on retirement. And I'm going to have Pete, and I won't reveal Pete's age because he looks much younger than he actually is. He's 84. Pete, do you have a question on retirement?
How much is enough for retirement?
No, ask the question you asked off the air.
Well, the question is, and I know what he's going to say.
The questions you asked during commercials don't help listeners.
You could opt out early. What is it, 62?
That's correct.
Or you can wait until, is it 68?
70.
Okay. And you probably tell people don't take the early payout at 62 because you're going to leave money on the table.
How about you let the expert answer the question and not answer it for him?
Well, here's the thing. If you don't need the money at 62... or you don't really need it at 67, then wait until 70.
But people think, am I going to live to 70? Well, I might as well use it now.
People are going to live to 90.
Okay.
70 is not the issue. And when you're 70 years old, let me ask you a real simple question. Would you prefer to get a bigger check for the rest of your life or a smaller check for the rest of your life? And you'll hear people say, well, you know, maybe I won't catch up. If you die, you're not going to care. And your spouse is going to get a bigger check to take over after you're gone in any case.
Right. The idea is to be, Bill, if I've paid any attention to you in the time I've known you, is to be prepared so you don't have to make a decision like taking your Social Security.
Yeah,
early,
you
right?
should be able to create as much income as you possibly right. can in your portfolio and not have to do that. Take it at 70. It's going to be a bigger check.
Gotcha.
And if you would take one of the jobs the listeners is offering, you wouldn't be even discussing this.
You're right.
Mark Carmen, you're much younger than Pete and me.
Yeah, you telling me that in 27 years it's actually going to be Social Security? Are we really confident about that? Is that too deep?
I mean, we don't know.
We don't know, but you shouldn't be sitting here planning for collecting that at 70. You should be doing the other things in your life.
Like what?
I'd ask Bill.
Like saving as much as you possibly can. Every single year beginning today.
So, okay, let's say you have a little bit of income that you can save each month.
What's the percentage? What's a little bit?
Yeah, well, let's say you're saving like $500 a month. That's
okay.
How much of that are you putting towards retirement? What percentage on like if you're getting $500, how much are you allowed to enjoy? How much should be saved?
You're asking the wrong question.
Okay,
$500 is not nearly enough. You should be saving a minimum of 10% of every dollar you make at this age for retirement.
10 cents on a dollar.
10 cents on
wow.
a buck. Minimum.
Okay.
Because if you
don't.
No
matter what you make.
If you don't, you're going to be poor at retirement. And as you say, there may not be Social Security, at least the way we know it for you at that point.
The guy with a family of four making 40 grand, saving 10% of that.
Is four grand.
Is a big deal. So whatever you're making.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Mark feels like he got punched in the stomach. The truth is the important part.
It's hard.
The easy way to do that is through a 401k plan, and it's painful for a month or two, and then you just kind of get used to it.
I think, at least when it applies to me, as we talk about me too much here, I actually have to like get a concept of, well, what am I making, right? And like, and actually have a plan, and what am I spending? I don't do any of that. Like,
yeah, it's just, well, that is definitely an issue.
Have your employer take out 10% before you even see your check. Have it thrown into a mutual fund account, and don't ever touch it.
Have Larry Wirt manage your cash from now on.
Then you'll be fine, actually. Should you have, or if you have your 401k, should you have another savings besides your 401k? And what if you decide to change your retirement? Say you put together your portfolio, you think, okay, I'm going to retire at 65.
Right.
What if now you're thinking 62?
You better save more. You better save more because it's going to take more. Are you going to be alive in this earth for longer? Mm-hmm. You're going to need more saved up to support that.
So you should have something in addition to 401k.
Yeah, and one of the ways that you can do this is save money and start transitioning at least a portion of your portfolio into a source of income for your retirement.
Something that's going to make more money.
Yeah, sustainable, dependable income. So when you do retire, you've got... Well, let me give you an example. We had a 60-year-old couple came in, still working. They want to retire in seven years. Guy had an $800,000 401k plan because he'd been saving.
Right.
While he's still working, we rolled that 401k plan into effectively a private pension plan for him. In 7 years, he's going to be getting $74,000 a year for the rest of his life, the rest of his wife's life, along with Social Security. They're into the six figures for as long as they're on this earth. And that money that's left when they're gone is going to go into their legacy for their kids.
Yeah. And if you can live on six figures for the rest of your life, you've probably got a pretty good lifestyle.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Writing this down.
Yeah, you should definitely write it down, as you should the other notes we get from Bill Geiger. This private pension plan idea.
Yeah.
What's an easy way for people to wrap their head around it?
You take a portion of your portfolio. The closer you get to retirement, probably the bigger that portion should be. You set it aside in some strategies that will produce dependable, sustainable income.
So if we think of a pension as dependable, sustainable income,
well,
this is your own private way of doing it that you've vetted with you. And you know it's going to work out.
Yeah. The difference is a traditional pension like the state of Illinois, for instance.
Well, that's a bad example. Bill, that doesn't pay.
Okay. How about some of the largest companies in America? GE is dramatically underfunded in their pension plan.
Right.
General Motors, Boeing, Exxon, AT&T, Delta, all dramatically underfunded.
Right.
If you have a chance to get a lump sum distribution,
do it.
Take it.
Yeah.
And roll it in and create your own pension plan.
Speaking of that, let's talk about portability, because this goes to, you know, me being fired a million times,
yeah.
Pete as well. If you have a 401k with a company and you move on to another company, if that 401k is doing okay, do you leave it alone or do you roll it into something else?
No, you roll it into an IRA. If you're no longer with your former company, your money shouldn't be there either. You should roll it into a 401k.
Well, it's like a big company like Vanguard or something, or it doesn't matter?
It could be. Could be Vanguard, could be TD Ameritrade, could be anything. But basically, you want to have control of that money, and you want to have as many options as possible what to do with it. In a 401k plan, you're kind of hamstrung. You're tied into whatever choices your employer has made for available for you in there.
There's sort of logic behind it, right? Because if they were stupid enough to fire you, why would you want them to be around to manage your money?
And do you want to depend mm-hmm. upon them for the next 20 or 30 years of your life to make good financial decisions?
Hmm. I don't see it happening.
No.
Is there a time limit on how long you can take before you roll the money after you leave an employer?
No.
You just can't take it and spend it. You got to roll it in something.
Not only can you take it after you leave an employer, you can take it while you're still working. Uh-huh. If you're 59 and a half, most 401k plans allow you the option to roll your money into an IRA. And from there, you can do a whole lot of things like the private pension plan I was talking about.
So be portable.
Be portable.
Okay.
And be in control.
All right. Let's talk about the risk, because whenever I talk about your company, as I'm about to in a minute, talk about the fact that, you know, you can have $500,000 sitting aside and you think, I'm good. But you have no idea how much risk you have in that lump sum of money, right?
For most folks, absolutely true. We do risk analysis when folks come into our office. A risk, it's basically a stress test. You know what a stress test is for your heart? Mm-hmm. We do a stress test.
Why are you looking at me when you say that? Yeah, I know what it is.
We do a stress test on their portfolio. And we do a stress test on portfolio and it comes back and says the next 2008, you're going to lose 40 to 50% of your portfolio.
Yeah, that's
you
bad.
Might want to know about that.
Yeah, that's
we
bad.
Do that every day. And most people have a whole lot more risk than what they thought they did.
Yes, and this is one of the most advanced pieces of software in the financial business that goes through and drains everything.
When I turn this thing on, the lights dim in the neighborhood.
So it's important to go through that process as well. Everybody wants to know, and this is Pete's question before I jumped on him, when the right time is. Because, you know, you get people that have been pretty careful, and at 50 they want to plan it out. And they have that question, but you also get people at 55 or 60 or maybe even 65 that go, what do I need? How much do I need? Is there a pat answer for all of that?
If you're in your late 50s to early 60s, you really should be sitting down and figuring out how much income you can produce. Income makes the world go round in retirement. If you have enough income and you can depend upon it, you can retire whatever age you want. The income is the key.
Is there a specific goal? Should you have the goal when you retire? Like, here's what I want to do. I want to travel. Right. I want to go here. I want to go there. I want to do this. I want to have a house here that I want to buy a beach house, whatever.
Right.
Or should you just have an idea of, I'd like to travel, vagary. Mm-hmm. I'd like to do this and that with my life. And then you determine how much money you need. What's more important, the specifics or the big idea?
The most important thing is to have at least as much income when you retire as you do when you're working. Now, that goes opposite of what a lot of financial advice is. A lot of folks believe you can live on less in retirement. Just because you're not taking as many suits to the dry cleaner doesn't mean your cost of living is going to drop. You're going to be traveling more.
Right.
You're going to be seeing the grandkids.
Fun's expensive.
Mm-hmm. Fun's expensive. You're going to be paying for graduations. You're going to be paying for
your deadbeat children who are sucking all your life out of your purse or your wallet.
37 and still living in the basement. Yeah, playing Xbox.
The important thing to do is to sit down with you and go through this stuff because you've spent a lifetime trying to be as knowledgeable as you are. I know there's always new things coming along and you have to learn them first.
Let's do something special. The next five folks that call in today, I'm going to sit down with them personally on a complimentary basis and help them put together a full-blown retirement plan. They need to have at least $500,000 in their portfolio, but I'll do this personally for them.
And the number is 800-681-2498. Look, it's frustrating. You work hard your whole life, and you go, what do you mean I don't have enough? But don't you want to know what the situation is? And by the way, people could sit down with you, and you could say, you're doing great.
That's
I'm sure you have those clients as well.
Yes, sir.
All right, so Geiger Wealth Management, ready to help you today. And that special offer, again, is Bill himself will sit down with you personally, create a full-blown retirement analysis. What's this normally cost?
$3,000.
And you're giving it away for free.
Yeah.
Maybe you're not so
five
smart.
Callers.
Next five callers. $500,000 or more in your portfolio. You think you got it locked up. Let's find out. Let's stress test that portfolio. Let's see what's really in there. And Bill Geiger will tell you what's happening with it, what you're looking for going forward, and how to best get there. Together with you, Bill's going to translate how complex this stuff is into easy-to-understand steps and a roadmap to help get you where you want to be. It's Geiger Wealth Management, 800-681-2498, 800-681-2498. You got to call now. Be one of the next five. All right, you guys all set for retirement? Any follow-ups? Everybody good?
Wow.
Took my notes.
Just going to follow Bill home.
Yeah. I mean, this guy knows it.
All right, he's got it down.
Bill, right. Be in control of your money. Know your stress
we
test.
We need a 10-15, right?
You know what? Take your wallet out right now. Give it to Bill.
I don't have a wallet. That's the problem.
Well, see, there you go. That's part of the problem. Bill and Wendy coming up, 720 WGN.